Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? I'm so pumped about today. It's Tuesday. It's John and Wayne show. How we doing, Wayne Breezy?
Great. I tried to do my best Tony the Tiger interpretation. Wow. I realized I didn't have enough growl in the voice, but this is what you got.
Dude, I love cereal's like one of my favorite things in the world.
Oh, it's the greatest.
It's awesome. It's like whatever you think about guys like Tony the Tiger, and it's great. Yeah, that's what we're gonna be talking about today.
You got the great. You have the grr. I heard the grr. Mine was flat.
I got the growl. It's the old coaching voice. Whatever, like that. You know, that same guy that plays left guard that just like can't remember the snap count ever, and it's just like you got to get the growl in there to let him know I'm a predator. Uh-huh. Let's go, man. Come on, dude.
I have more of the Smokey from Friday voice. Come on, man. Like, I just don't have the grr. Like, you know what I mean? Get it together, man. What you doing, man? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. So greatness is kind of what we're talking about today. So we're going to go over the 49ers start OTAs today. We're going to highlight why it's so important this year as opposed to most years. And then we're going to spend the most of today's show talking about who is the best or greatest player on the 49ers currently. We'll give some parameters for that conversation.
Yeah, love that poll question, too, by the way.
And again, you know, have to say shout out to Coach Yak. He's the one that kind of FanDuel put out a graphic with the best player on every single team's roster. And they had Trent Williams there, which no problems with that. But we're going to talk through it. I would disagree with Trent Williams being that player, but I do not. I'm not upset with anybody that would say Trent Williams is the guy. The 49ers have a lot of studs on the roster, and Trent Williams definitely needs to be involved in that. And then we're going to wrap up today's show. Talking about, again, greatness, who's the best number 42 all time for the 49ers? I think that's a pretty easy conversation, but I want to dive into the number 42 and what that is. So let's start off with OTAs.
Yeah,
they start today for the 49ers, and I think that this OTAs is huge. One, you have two new coordinators. Robert Saleh, the only people that were here with Robert Saleh were Kevin Givens, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, end of list. Three of your defensive players on that side of the ball. That's it. So new defensive scheme, even though it's close, a lot of the verbiage is the same. The position coaches are the same. Still different. And a new special teams coach as well. And then the last piece before I tip it to you and why you think OTAs is so important, Jason with Over the Cap. The 49ers are only returning 62% of players from last year. 62. Mm-hmm. That is the fifth lowest in the NFL. So you got a lot of new players, a lot of rookies, new defensive coordinator, new special teams coordinator. Tell me what you think about OTAs this year and why it's probably more important than has been in a long time.
Well, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head. You got two coordinators, not necessarily new to the team or even new to, well, one probably new to the position with the, on the offensive side, but he's been with Kyle Shanahan for a while, talking about Mr. Clay Kubiak. So, I mean, he's been coordinating, you know what I mean? But he's going to, you know, he's got the official title. So it would be cool to watch him implement some of his things early on. And that's what makes these OTAs super important. We're kicking off phase two of the San Francisco 49ers. And, your coordinators are there, and this is where they kind of get in and they kick off what they want. They're going to do the installs. This is what we need. This is what we want. Can you get it? Can you not get it? They get the first hands on some of these young kids. It might even be more important for a guy like Robert Saleh, even though he's not new to the position of coordinating, John. He's going to be new to a lot of these players. We got 11 rookies that six of them defensive players that we drafted, and some undrafted guys and some new free agents that they brought in. So a lot of new faces that got to get the install defensively. Now, I think it's a little bit easier to catch on defensively because you're more reacting, but you still got to learn what his style is. What are we going to be running? Cover three, cover one, cover two, cover four, like, which are derivatives of each other. Like, what does Robert Saleh want? And I think we kind of know. Like, we kind of know what his style is. Not heavy on the blitz, will blitz, but not heavy. That's not what he relies on. Needs the pressure up front so his guys can play coverage in the back end. Wants those interchangeable types of safeties. We got a lot of young guys playing safety. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like that. He likes that big nickel so you could put the bigger guy on the football field opposed to a regular small nickel back. So we'll see, man. But OTAs are hell of important, and the biggest thing about OTAs is the 49ers kind of addressed, I thought, three key positions that makes each of their sides tick. You know, George Kittle, he makes the offense tick. Brock Purdy, I can't have an offense without a quarterback. And Fred Warner makes the defense tick. And so you brought back those three generals, and yes, they're all generals. You brought back three generals, you extended them, you got them in here, and how cool is it to have them already taken care of? You took care of Trent Williams last year. You took care of Christian McCaffrey last year. Those guys are definitely good captains. And so you got your generals, you got your captains. I don't know the order hierarchy of Army talk, so please forgive me. But I think you know what I'm talking about. And they're already locked and loaded, guarantees, ready to go. And if they're here at the beginning of camp, that's what you need. And we can't talk about the synergy, the fraternity, the brotherhood that it creates when everybody's locked in on day one, ready to go. That's super important. So that's the importance for me for OTAs. Even though they're voluntary, I think everybody's locked and loaded. You don't have to worry about guarantees at this point.
Right. One of the things that I want to see is Alfred Collins ready to start getting on the field work. That's what I want to see. My guess is they're probably going to hold him out just to be safe. Defensive tackle is one of the easiest things. He had a strained calf during the combine draft, whatever, and so they're waiting on that. But this is going to be huge. And so I love that there's no contract drama out there, and I want to see what that's going to look like. And right here, Chuck, with Saleh, out here playing these rookies, might be a different year. Could have five rookies that start. That's not a stretch. That is not a stretch. And, you know, with the way that things have been, you know, Kyle Shanahan doesn't play rookies usually. He really, really doesn't. But you disagree.
I slightly disagree. We're talking about Kyle Shanahan with the trust of a guy that he trusts with his life. He has his defensive coordinator back. There's no more micromanaging in that particular area anymore. I think Kyle is going to trust what Robert Saleh has to say as far as defensively who starts. But offensively, yeah, you guys are 100% correct, because it's harder for those guys coming in as rookies to retain the amount of information that's being pumped to them. Remember, John, we talked about the playbook, and you get an offensive playbook from Kyle Shanahan compared to offensive playbooks from other teams and coordinators. It's like... It's thick. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many derivatives of the play on Kyle Shanahan's side. So, yeah, it's harder for those offensive players to really kind of like make mends unless there's some type of an injury and he has no other choice. And even you see those guys make mistakes, right? I watched Ricky Pearsall line up in the wrong spot last year a few times, right? Jacob Conwing, like, you see the offensive rookies make those mistakes. And so that's probably why Kyle is like that. But from a defensive perspective, John, I think he trusts Robert Saleh 100%. I mean, they went to the draft defensively for a reason. And so why would you do that? If that, they could have spent money and signed free agents. No, they wanted to get younger. They wanted to get cheaper. They wanted to get more players that fit the current style of football. And where do you get those guys? Oh, I know, from college. Like, you know what I mean? So they went that route. So I trust Saleh. I think Shanahan trusts Saleh. I trust Saleh.
Yeah, I'm with, and he has started rookies. Saleh has started a lot of Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, JB and Sherwood. Like, he'll put them out there.
Especially at that linebacker spot. Yeah.
Especially at the linebacker spot. And defensive line is one of the easiest. Like, it's funny. Like, if you look at what the transfer difficulty level is from going to college to, you know, NFL, cornerbacks relatively high. But outside of that, the defensive spots,
right?
Yeah, relatively simple. Linebacker, defensive tackle is about as easy as it gets.
I get it, but can I ask you, is it because of the responsibility from the defensive lineman? I mean, what makes it so much more of an easier transition from college to the pros compared to, I mean, linebackers, duh, they got to be able to cover. They might go from Mike to weak to strong. Like, there's different roles, but what makes it different, John?
So, like, the relatively simple thing, if we start up front, it's man on man. I line up in a three technique. I'm outside shoulder of the guard. I am reading that block from middle school, high school, college on. It's literally, it's what you work on. And so you get there and you read blocks. You know, down block, this is where my hands go. This is what I do. He's trying to reach me. I got to cross his hat. He's pass pro. Let's get into my pass rush plan. Those things do not change at all. Now, the degree of opponents that you're going against changes. And mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some schematic changes. But here's what's crazy. And this will always be true. Football offensive innovation trickles up. It does not go down.
Every
year.
It
goes high school to college to NFL. And that's why Chip Kelly's where he is now. You know what I mean? Like, things go up. The NFL doesn't usually go down, and it's the opposite way. So you will see a lot more of these advanced, more complex schemes in college than you will in the NFL. It's relatively simple from, if that makes sense. It does.
No. I get what you're saying. And it does make sense. Not to cut you off. I totally get where you're coming from. Definitely.
And so that's why I think, you know, defensive line's easy. Linebackers, relatively easy. Saleh implements one of the simplistic schemes in the entire NFL. It is simple, simple, simple. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't want mistakes. He doesn't want all those miscommunications. Like, you look at what Nick Sorensen did last year, relatively simple scheme, but we had miscommunications every single game, every single week. Like, that was a major issue. You're not going to have that with Robert Saleh. You've never had that with Robert Saleh. In fact, he errs on the side of caution to where we're not going to make an adjustment until halftime where we can solidify everything.
Correct.
That was a critique in the past. So it's an oversimplification. Everybody needs to know their job at all times on the defensive side. Now, you talked about offense rookies. That's different. You got running back is easy, and that's it.
That's it. Maybe
guard a little bit, but
yeah, because guard, you kind of got one assignment. You know, are you pulling to the outside? Like, yeah, I get it. I think running back is difficult in Kyle's system. I think running back's easy in everybody else's system. And you would think that running backs just got to come in. First of all, they got to be able to pass protect, but they got to know what their pass protections are doing. They got to know what to do. And sometimes you see a lot of mistakes from the running backs when it comes to pass pro, especially if a play is, you know, Kyle runs, what, two or three plays in one play, and the play is kind of altered. So for being a rookie, it's tough to get out on the football field. Now, running a ball, that's one thing. You know what I mean? And even we watch Isaac Garendo struggle with running the ball, because he was hitting the hole too damn fast, opposed to allowing the play to develop. He didn't give his offensive line an opportunity to block to where he could make the one cut and bounce to the outside. And we saw that happening as he got reps. So for those that feel like Kyle doesn't want to start the rookies, he doesn't. It's clear in present danger he doesn't want to because of the mistakes that they're going to make in the system. And so that's why I always say, John, give these players reps, they'll get better. And it's common sense. But the question is, when do they get those reps? And
CMC's out there.
I think, and hear me out. I love this conversation. This is where Bobby Turner gets to be creative. Not Kyle Shanahan, but Bobby Turner. Because now we might see a different type of two running back type of a system. We might see something different. That two-headed monster that we've been talking about, because now you have speed of Guerrero, and then you have the vision of Christian McCaffrey, and we might be able to utilize those guys and interchange them at different points in time on the football field. And yeah, it's going to come down to what Kyle calls up or the plays or Clay Kubiak or whoever running offense. But I think this is where we get to see Bobby Turner get a little bit more creative because he has the guys he trusts. It's all about trust, bro. I did a whole show yesterday about trust. It comes down to who Bobby Turner wants out there. He didn't trust your guy, man. I'm sorry.
No, he didn't. He didn't even draft him. Aaron Landry. Like, he took 1 year break, and Jordan Mason came in and dominated. Bobby Mason said, who's this in my house?
He didn't even take the full year break, right? Like, he took a month and a half off, and it's like, I'm back. Like, this
ain't my guy.
This not my guy.
Get him out of here.
Because Jordan Mason was what we needed. Like, he was the change of pace back. He was the bruiser. He was the guy that could break the tackles. He was that guy. But he did lack a couple of things. And so, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, you got to see the door sometimes. And it showed up for Jordan Mason. I'm happy for him. I hope he does well. I like that he got paid, man.
For sure, man. He did. He earned it. He earned it.
Now, I do have to do a quick update. We have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout.
Greatest player
tonight.
Of all time. Greatest player of all time in any sport. You can miss me with the new hockey player that just broke Wayne Gretzky's record. You can miss me with all of that. He's the greatest player. Sorry for interrupting. Just wanted to put that out there.
Heck no, man. You interrupt all your – because, like, in the offseason, I do this every year where I go down my nostalgia, like – just train wrecks, right? And I'm just like, let's see here. Who's the most best player at each position? And I do running backs, linebackers, edge rusher, like all that stuff. Jerry Rice is him. Jerry Rice is him. I don't care. The only two people that can have a conversation, I would argue, would be Tom Brady and Joe Montana. I think that is a three-horse race. And depending on how you want to go with it, I don't care. But Jerry Rice is him for me. It's just what it is. So tonight at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, we have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout meeting. I get to hear from you. Super excited about it. Go sign up at the49ersrush.com. We got 7-day free trial. Sign up. Come to the meeting. Watch some film breakdowns. Cancel. Won't cost you a penny. And on our Patreon in the link to the description as well. So let's get to the greatest. FanDuel puts out this graphic that says the best player on every team. Now, what I want to spend a little bit of time on, Wayne, they chose Trent Williams. Let's define what that means, okay? So for me, to be the best player, you have to be in the conversation at least for the best player of your position in the NFL. Agree or disagree?
Agreed.
So with that being said, that's why I did not include Brock Purdy. I don't think that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Even though, like, if we're talking importance to this season, yeah, Brock Purdy's number one. He's a quarterback. I get it. But I also didn't include Nick Bosa. I think Nick Bosa is close to, but I do not put Nick Bosa at the pinnacle. I think he's in that kind of second level tier. Agree or disagree?
I disagree with that.
Okay, so you think he's the best defensive end edge rusher in
the
NFL?
I think he's in the tier of being the best defensive edge rusher in the NFL because you measure part of that is measured from the production, which is sacks, and when you're not high up there consistently with the double digit sack number, it makes it tough when you see the outlier of a Trey Hendrickson. But if you look at the most consistent player in the NFL as an edge rusher, it's probably between Myles Garrett and TJ Watt. But then are those guys doubled as much as Nick Bosa? Because I'm going to go with the hell no. Like, I feel like Bosa, they game plan for him. I'm not saying they don't game plan for the other guys, but they literally know they're trying to take out Nick Bosa every single week, and you talk about a guy that doesn't get any holding calls or anything like that. And so I think he's prominent on the football field, and it makes him definitely top five edge rusher. And people might say Micah Parsons is up there, fine. But when I look at Parsons and Watt, it's kind of hard to compare those to the 4-3 guys when they're the 3-4. It's just weird. I hate it. You know, I hate it, but I get it. So I feel like he's in that top tier. It just sucks that the numbers for sacks aren't as consistently high as some of the premier guys that's been doing it. But their roles are different, you know? It's a different role. So
that's very true. And now Bosa's going to get a lot more help. He was It was the Jackson Five. You had MJ, and then you had everybody else. Like, we ain't even going to say their name. Like, you know what I mean? That's what it was for a while. But now he's getting some talent around him, which we saw back in 2019 when they made, you know, his rookie year when it was Defoe and Armstead, D4 to a lesser extent. Like, you're going to get to see some talent around him, which I'm excited about. But if you want to include Nick Bosa in this conversation, I have no qualms with that. For me, it's Myles Garrett, giant gap, everybody else in the edge rushing class. Like, it's Myles Garrett. But that's okay if you disagree with that. Cool. The four guys that come into contention with me, I consider all to be at the best, or at least in the conversation with best in their position. That's Trent Williams, that's Fred Warner, that's Christian McCaffrey, and that's George Kittle. So for me, whenever I made the poll, you only get four choices. And if you're watching on YouTube, whether live or not, you can scroll up to the top. There's a poll you can click on. But on Twitter is where I put this out. So talk to me real quick about Trent Williams. That's who FanDuel said is our best player. And I want to make the case for each one of these players. Why would, what is the argument for Trent Williams being the best player for the 49ers this year?
Because he's healthy. And when he's healthy, he's the best damn player in football. I mean, times we've talked about that. I mean, I truly believe that there's new, what's the word? They got a new award for offensive linemen. I mean, it's about
protector
damn time.
Protector of the year?
Yeah, protector of the year. And so, man, look, there's some good tackles in the league. There's some great tackles in the league. But when Trent Williams is at his health and his health is right, I mean, nobody's better than this guy. Like, and that's crazy because dude's a dinosaur in football years, and he's still competing at an elite level. So we're talking about an elite all-pro type of player that had a down year, which still – how do you, let me ask you this question. How do you have a down year and you're still a top three tackle in the league? So explain that shit. Explain that to me. And I'll explain, I can't, and that's your answer. Like, just explain it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, last year, like, here's my devil's advocate approach to this. Trent didn't seem as dominant as he has been in the past. Still
not
dominant.
Not last year, but then factor in the stuff that didn't happen. Yeah. No OTAs, contract negotiations, all that bull crap.
Personal injuries.
They showed him.
I forget where it was, but it was like he was at. I don't remember where it was, but they clipped to him, and he still was on the cart. You know that little knee scooter thing.
Yes,
like almost like a
like
month.
Recently. You mean?
No, it was like
no. I know what you meant
during the playoffs or something. I think it was, and it was like that. Wow, he's still on that thing. So yeah, finally going to be healthy, and like again with what he went through in the offseason, like you said, contract, personal stuff, no OTAs, no training camp.
Just imagine being mentally healthy and physically healthy, and maybe that was just a extra precaution, just to keep him on the cart. We're not competing for anything, bro. Rest, heal, get right. You know what I'm saying? Because look, we're looking to make Brock Purdy our guy. He knew that, and we need you to protect him. He knew that too. So my only concern, with Trent Williams isn't age. I know a lot of people were worried about his age. I feel like offensive linemen can play to their 90. And I'm just being facetious, but my only concern with Trent is, does he have the will to want to play? That's it. That's the only thing I care about, because if he has the will, he's literally the best player on the football field every given snap, like, you know, that he's out there. And I think that's why they went with Trent, because when he's healthy, he's literally number one at his position. Fred Warner, he's literally, to me, the best damn linebacker in football, and he has been for quite some time. But that competition is definitely, you know, now you got the Zach Bonds of the world, and Bobby Wagner is like 50 still playing at an elite level. Like, so you're going to have that competition. But we all know Fred had a down year, in my opinion, even though he led the team with tackles and in missed tackles. But he had a down year due to the ankle injury that he was dealing with. So I think Fred coming back next year, he could be the best player on the 49ers football, but I think it depends on who compliments him. Trent doesn't need the complimentary pieces.
Mm. Yeah, and that's a big deal with, look, if you have terrible defensive tackles in front of you, those blockers are getting to you.
They get
like,
to him,
repeatedly.
Man. It's unfortunately, and that's wear and tear on Fred's body. Like, you know, at the beginning of the season, he'll shed him. He shouldn't have to. That's why they got big super soakers. That's what I'm going to call the defensive line. They got the big super soakers up front. You know
those
what
were
I
the
mean?
Best ever. Oh, whenever you had those 50s, made in the 50s, summer.
Super soaker 50s. Yeah. Anything above 50, it was mid. Anything below 50 was mid. But the 50 greatest water gun of all time.
I love it, man. Now, Eric says this. John should come on and say the answer is Fred Warner, then end the stream. My vote is Fred Warner. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he's the best. I think he's the best of his position. I think he's the greatest coverage linebacker of all time. He's 29. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing that, like, you know, we lump in the extension of Kittle and, you know, Fred Warner and all. Fred Warner is young. Mm-hmm. Young. Y-U-N-G. Young. And so, I know I spelt it wrong before I get those emails. I do that on purpose. But, so, make the case for me that Fred Warner's the best player on the 49ers right now, Wayne.
I mean, how can he not be? Like, I get it. I mean, I feel like he's the team's leader. And I get that goes to the quarterback. But without Fred Warner, I mean, like, first of all, he's my favorite player. And we've had this conversation, him, Dre Greenlaw. And I feel like he's defensively and offensively, I just feel like without his mental aptitude for the game, I feel like this team doesn't play great. Now, my only downside to Fred is that he may feel that he has to do it all. And there's times he does. I'm not going to lie. He puts on the big boy pants. He doesn't complain. You talk about a guy that played on an ankle injury for the majority of last season and didn't complain. Yeah, I hurt, but I'll be out there. I'm in pain. It's cool, but I'm out there. And still led the team in tackles and still finished first team All-Pro and still, you get what I'm saying? So, like, everything about Fred, his preparation, his mental aptitude, everything about him screams he's the best 49er. Now, here's what would give me him the edge over Trent Williams, because I love Trent Williams. I love Trent Williams. When we traded for Trent Williams, no one was probably more ecstatic than I was, because I said right away he's better than Joe Staley.
And which was crazy. How do you go from Joe Staley
to Trent
Williams? Perennial second team All-Pro everything, and then upgrade somehow.
Now, Joe Staley was the ultimate team player. You loved him. But Trent Williams, to me, was the better player. Here's why I give the edge. Here's why I can see people giving the edge to Fred Warner. And if I had to give the edge to Fred Warner, I would give it. Man, Fred Warner, homegrown, drafted, and got better every single season, even with an injury.
Yeah, he was like in the defensive player of the year category until that ankle fracture. And we were like, man, what happened? His play kind of dropped off. We didn't know. Oh, it turns out he fractured his ankle a couple weeks ago. Just kept playing, didn't it? I think he missed two snaps.
He gets better every single season. And so you have to attest to what this young man goes through in the offseason to prepare his body physically, knowing it's going to be battered and bruised. And it's that mind over matter thing, right? Like, he has the formula of saying mentally, I can overcome this. That's the scary part. That's what makes Fred ultimately the best player on the San Francisco 49ers.
He's my vote. Look at JP. Appreciate you, JP, just for everything. He says, Chinatown annual meeting with the faithful family is mandatory. When we go to Seattle and we throw a party in Seattle, when the party's over, we go to Chinatown.
I think
we get
that's
some damn good food.
That's the best party. I'm not going to lie. So, guys, get your 49ers Rush Road Trip tickets. Unfortunately, the Seattle trip is too close too soon for me. I didn't know it was going to be that early in the season.
Yeah, it's early.
So I won't be able to attend that party. But that's the best road trip because, A, the 49er fan base is ridiculous in Seattle. B, believe it or not, like, the Seattle fans aren't bad. Like, they actually support the 49ers faithful. It's weird, don't ask me. And then C, Chinatown. That's best dinner. Oh, my gosh. It's the after-dinner dinner.
That's right, man. That's a good time.
I mean, we stayed up to like 2, 3 a.m.
It's ridiculous.
Just talking, eating, and then fellowshipping.
A lot of laughing. The ribs hurt after that that one. So, but if you are coming to any of the 49ers road trip games, you got to go to TickPick.com. All you got to do is type in 49ers and Rush, 49ers space Rush. It pulls up all eight cities events that we are doing. We're going to be at week one in Seattle, week two in New Orleans, week six in Tampa, week eight in Houston, week nine all the way over in New York. We are going to see Wayne at that one. Week 11, Arizona, week 13, Cleveland, and week 16, Indianapolis. Going to be a fun one for that Monday night football game. So just go to TickPick.com. The link is in the description of this video audio. We have party plans, rallies the day before, which is always fun, kind of 2 to 6 time frame. And then we have an incredible tailgate. I'm telling you, you want to go, let's go. Kids are free to every event we will ever do. That is very important to me. But yeah, come party with us at the Faithful. So go check it out. And if you can't remember all that, just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click the link. It takes you where you need to go. All right, we got two more players I want to talk about because I think they're involved in the conversation. Christian McCaffrey is a year removed from being the best offensive player in the league, let alone best running back.
He's about to be MVP. He's in the MVP race. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
So I understand Christian McCaffrey was hurt last year. I understand we only got him back for 3 games, and it was kind of a Christian McCaffrey light. Now supposedly fully healthy. What is the argument that Christian McCaffrey is the best player on the 49ers team this season?
Man, I feel like all four of these candidates are like legit it, right? Because with a healthy Christian McCaffrey, I mean, the sky's the limit for what Kyle is looking to do offensively. And we don't talk about the rapport he has with Brock Purdy. We saw a lot of balls down the field last year because the check down available option, which was there, he just wasn't comfortable throwing it. And so now you get a guy that just understands the check down. He understands the pass protections. You're not going to have to worry about stuff like that. And so, like, Christian McCaffrey can be the best player in the San Francisco 49ers. He goes back from getting your offense being, what, 27th in the red zone to first. Shit, this shit is crazy. Like if you think about it, like we couldn't score in the red zone. Like, I can't figure that out to save my life. We could blame it on the offensive line. We could blame it on whatever. There was just no Christian McCaffrey on the football field whatsoever, and the defenses knew that. I think now that the defenses know Christian McCaffrey is going to be on the football field, it just changes up things and it changes up the options. And so this is probably why he's in the argument of being the best player on the San Francisco 49ers, John. He doesn't like to come off the football field. He's highly competitive. Don't you let Christian McCaffrey run for 99 yards. You take his ass out, put another running back in there for that 1 yard. He will cuss you the freak out. Like, that is what I like. Yo, he's like a weird, silent killer. No, sorry, YouTube. He's just weird. Like, I love it. I love that about him. I love his competitiveness. And I'm probably the only person not worried about the Achilles tendonitis, which is what he was suffering. I don't know why I'm not worried. I didn't think it was a big deal last year, but I'm glad they used that to shut his ass down. And now all of a sudden he's miraculously fully healthy. Give it to me, baby. Like, give me Christian McCaffrey. Sign me up, because we know what this offense does with Christian McCaffrey.
Give it to me, baby.
Hey.
He's just too damn good. He broke Jerry Rice's touchdown record.
We watched it. No,
like, we were there.
He could have broke it, but
never mind. That was ridiculous where they were force feeding those touches. I forget where that
was
game
was. Was that the Rams game?
It might have been. Cardinals it was completely game? Blown out. We were on the away. It was an away game, so we were there. Mm-hmm. And everybody's chanting, CMC, see. Like, everybody in the whole stadium knew where the play was going. He didn't get in there, though. But, like, yeah, Christian McCaffrey still has a lot to prove. Yeah. And, you know, I go back to this consistently. I don't think Christian McCaffrey's a Hall of Famer yet. He needs one more solid, incredible year.
He just needs a Super Bowl to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he could get in 5-10 years after he retires, something like that, maybe.
You give him a Super Bowl, John, he's got to be one of the best running backs of all time.
You give him one All-Pro, one Super Bowl, one whatever, then it's done. And so, like, I think there's one Rembrandt season left for CMC. I hope it's this year. I really, really. He's under contract for 2 more seasons.
Was it a 2-year extension? 3-year extension.
Let me pull up the exact numbers just so.
I have to ask because I want to make sure that I'm affluent in when we're talking about his contract, because I thought He has this.
Oh,
year.
Oh, I hear your dryer. Your dryer.
Yeah,
got
you got. You must got a Samsung. it got.
I'm doing laundry too. So I am wrong. We have three more years under contract. You are correct. 2025, 2026, 2027.
Bingo. And now, I like it because
at 2027 years, a $26.4 million cap hit.
Oh, man, we know how that's going to work out. Like, you know what I'm saying? If you guys have been following the 49ers, they're not paying that. So at the end of the day, we already know that this is what they do, you know, and that's probably the year with no guarantees. And we'll see where he stands. You know, if Christian let me ask you this, John. If Christian McCaffrey balls out this year, I mean, 1,000 yards receiving, 1,000 yards rushing. Like, are you looking to, make him a lifetime 49er and just call it a day? Or are you looking to move on from him and let these other guys come in here and develop?
Because I
don't trust any other running back than Christian McCaffrey. I'm sorry.
Be different if somebody balls out, like if Jordan James becomes like, oh,
he won't
dude.
Get the opportunity.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. They want Christian McCaffrey to be here for as long as he plays. But then you look at next year, he's got an option due March 18th.
They're going to pay it.
I think that they will, but it
all depends on how he performs. If he performs, they're going to pay it because they know if he gets injured.
This is it. But
this is it. My little Kenny Loggins reference. Y'all don't know Kenny Loggins. Loggins was one of the, listen, not a lot of my Caucasian brothers sing as smooth as a Kenny Loggins, bro. But Kenny Loggins had that raspy, smooth, like it was beautiful. Matter of fact, Kenny Loggins, fun fact, that's who Michael Jackson wanted to imitate as he was a singer. He would imitate Kenny Loggins.
I like that.
That's why the name of his last album was called This Is It. And the name of that tour, This Is It. And then he passed away.
Oh, there we go, man. I love that, dude. Ooh. Little known fact, I gotta see. My mom took me to see Michael Jackson Thriller when I was 5.5 years old. I had nightmares
you got to
for
see
a year
Thriller?
And a half. I did. I was very late.
Wait,
my mom was dating
the
guy.
You got to see the video in the movie theater?
No.
Oh, the
I
tour.
Got to see the tour. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
I gotta call my mom and cuss her out. She because she took me to see Bad, because I was bad. I mean, my mom gave me the Michael Jackson S-curl. I had the S-curl. I had the leather jacket. I was
see,
cool.
I had the red one. I wore that thing for back-to-back years. Halloween.
I wanted the red. Yeah. I wanted the red one. I wanted the Thriller. So I gotta have a conversation with my mom. Like, Mom, like, why I wanted the Thriller experience. You gave me Bad experience. That's why I like my rock music. Michael Jackson was rock. On 1991 Bad album. That was rock.
Oh, man. I like the old MJ stuff. All right, we got one more player we got to talk about, and that's George Kittle. By far, best tight end. Literally was the guy that was delivering nonstop every single year. The blocking, the everything. He gets extended as well. What is the argument for George Kittle being the best player on the 49ers for the 2025 season?
That's funny. The Niners have too many players of impact, in my opinion. And then look, this is not a shot at George Kittle. If we were talking about, unfortunately, that other team that wears red and they're in a different state, if we were talking about that team and using that tight end, then yeah, right? But it's kind of hard. Like, I think George Kittle is the best tight end in football, but to be the best player on the 49ers, it's kind of like tough for me to grant him that, even though his impact out there. So you put a poll about being the best player. I put a poll about having the best impact. You don't have George Kittle out there on the football field. You don't run as well. Your receiving game is different. So impact is crazy, right?
Does that make him
the best, though?
Here was the poll that I put up on Twitter. And again, you know, I didn't put a lot of qualifiers on it. Who's the best player currently? Fred Warner walked away with 54% of the vote. George Kittle was second with 18%. Trent Williams, 17%. Christian McCaffrey, 11%. Now, the poll that we have up on YouTube right now, Fred Warner is 51%. George Kittle, 28%. Trent Williams, 12%. And then Christian McCaffrey, 9%. So the order is the same on YouTube and on now several hundred more votes over on Twitter. Doesn't make it more legitimate, just I that's how I see it. I would say Fred 1, I would say Kittle 2, Mm-hmm. I would say Trent 3, and I would say Christian McCaffrey 4. That's the order I would go in personally.
See, I would start with the trenches, and without a specific trench player, I don't think the offense moves. It doesn't move as well. It doesn't move as fluently. I mean, you talk about an offensive blind player that literally makes four other guys better. And I don't think he really got the full inept continuity with the young Dominic Pooney. And Pooney was on the right side. And number two, Trent was dealing with all the stuff he was dealing with last year. I think for me, it's Trent Williams. Then I'll go Fred
Warner.
You'd
go number one, Trent.
I'll go one, Trent, two, Fred, three, Kittle, and four, Christian McCaffrey. Because not everybody gets an opportunity to get a piece like Christian McCaffrey. But they all can be the best players.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have. It's a good debate. All right, now this one, there is no debate. Let's wrap this show up and just kind of pay homage to one of the greatest to ever do it. We do this best of series number, right? 42, who's the best to ever wear jersey number 42. There's no doubt in my mind. It is Ronnie Lott. Other players wore it before it was retired. Don Lisbon, Tony Leonard, Doug Cunningham. Cunningham was a good running back, played for a long time. We have the same birthday, September 14th. 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns, decent player. But let me just go through a little bit of Ronnie Lott's accolades. And then I want Wayne to kind of tell us how he feels, the impact, and where Ronnie Lott fits all time. Hall of Famer, first ballot, 49ers and the NFL. 10 Pro Bowls. He was on the 49ers for 10 years. Only one season wasn't a Pro Bowl year. 6 All-Pros, 4 Super Bowl wins, 1980s All-Decade Team, 1990s All-Decade Team, 129 games for the 49ers, 19 playoff games. He had that crucial interception in the very first 49ers Super Bowl win against the Bengals. 51 career interceptions. He's one behind all-time. The other safety that played for the Ravens. I don't want to talk about him right now. He did not win Defensive Rookie of the Year because he was drafted the same year as Lawrence Taylor, who I think is the best defensive player in the history of the NFL. Like, imagine that rookie class. Lawrence Taylor and Ronnie Lott?
Yeah.
Oh, cut the finger off. And my favorite thing, this is the number one thing that I will say about the importance of Ronnie Lott. Bill Walsh credited Ronnie Lott as the player that turned the 49ers culture around. Because you got to remember, they were not a winning franchise before Correct. Bill Walsh. Ronnie Lott is the player that changed the culture. Ah, Wayne, talk to me about Ronnie Lott. Exactly. Oh, that's beautiful, man.
That was a
I felt it.
He was a bad man. You're talking about a player with full processing mode. I mean, he knew where to be. His timing was impeccable, bro. Like, to jar the ball loose. I understand the game was played a little different. We talk about back then when you can hit hard. The rules were different. He literally probably decapitated a couple players in his time. But you read all of those accolades. I mean, and I don't think there's another greater number 42, period. You read all of those accolades, but the cutting of the pinky. I just want to explain the type of excruciating pain he was in after cutting off a finger, taping it up, and going back in the game. Now, I don't care if he didn't have any Pro Bowls, any of that, those accolades. This man cut off his finger in a game and played. He's the best damn. He's the best. Probably the best. Whew. You should do. Who's the best defensive 49ers player of all time? I think that's hard. But Ronnie Lott has to be in contention of being number one.
Could you imagine Ronnie Lott going to an NBA game this year and be like, oh, wait a second, LeBron's not playing? Why not? Oh, load management. That dude holds up his hands.
No, there was no such thing.
Load management? What? Yeah. Load management?
That's why Ronnie Lott can't figure out. I guarantee he watches football, and he's probably so disgusted with some of the way that the players act, but I think he's starting to understand coming around, like the new rules, the new CBA, all that bull crap. But yeah, I mean, I see somebody put Night Train Lane. Yeah, they were different. Safeties were different back then, you know. But Ronnie did it at two positions very well.
Yes, that's one of my favorite things. People forget he was an All-Pro corner for
All-Pro corner and All-Pro safety, y'all.
And he played free safety, All-Pro. He played strong safety, All-Pro.
Yeah. And think about all the people that modeled their game after Ronnie Lott. But not all the aspects of his game. Like maybe one. Like I feel like Steve Atwater hit like Ronnie Lott. Like I felt like he hit like Ronnie Lott.
I like
he took that from Ronnie Lott. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But Ronnie Lott was a coverage guy too. And so like that's what made him so dangerous, man. That's why I said his mental capacity for the game was processing. He understood, man. I don't know if we'll ever see that. I don't know. I don't think anybody in the league can do that. Now, see, I don't know if you were talking about Ed Reed.
Ed Reed is a different
guy. He had the physical attributes, size, speed, all that type, because Andy was great. So they're two different types of safeties. If you want to say Ed Reed is the greatest safety to ever play, that's fine. I'm not going to disagree.
But did he have those, like, enforcer hits, right?
Nope.
He only has one more interception than Ronnie Lott does.
Nope.
So, like, ball skills,
nope.
Ed Reed says, look,
nope.
Everybody says he has the best ball skills, and I'm fine with that conversation.
That's fine. He's a ball hawk. But Ronnie Lott
played corner, safety, enforcer, and one fewer interception. That's it. He's got four
Super
Bowls,
by the way. And this is before there was such something called a ball hawk, right? Specific assignment-based style of football, the free safety. Like, this is before we really even coined that term. Like, I felt like Ed Reed kind of, like, created that term because that was his job. His job was to be that. But no one, and I mean no one, hit like Ronnie Lott. Now, it's hard. You get drafted in the same class as Lawrence Taylor, bro. And I'm sorry, man. I don't care if he was coked up or not, man. Lawrence Taylor is the greatest damn player to ever play this game. I don't care. Like, there's not a defensive player that put more fear into anybody than Lawrence Taylor.
We out here like a bunch of crazy dogs. Oh, man. Dude. No, I'm with you. Like, Lawrence Taylor is the greatest defensive player.
Not even Ray Lewis, y'all. Ray Lewis don't hit like Lawrence Taylor. And Ray Lewis might be the greatest linebacker to ever play the game.
I'm fine for that conversation, but they're not, like, for me, like, Lawrence Taylor was MVP, dude.
MVP. Is he the only defensive player with MVP?
I believe so.
I feel like he was the only defensive player to play MVP. Like,
I believe so.
If I'm not mistaken, he was the only defensive player to win MVP. I don't think Reggie White won MVP, and Reggie White was a dog, too.
Alan Page.
Oh, Alan Page.
Okay. 1971.
Okay. Defensive that was before tackle. Lawrence Taylor, though. Like, yeah.
And Lawrence won it in 86. Yeah. So, like, but back to the great Ronnie Lott. And so, like, you talked about how Jerry Rice is your number one. He's my number one as well. So, like, if I'm doing the greatest 49ers of all time, and I do this conversation always in my head, this is my particular order. I go Jerry Rice one. I go Joe Montana two. I go Ronnie Lott 3, and I go Steve Young 4. That's my Mount Rushmore. Lott, Steve Young. That's my 4. And the thing is, the 49ers are so spoiled that, like, you have to debate it because, you know, that's only 4 names I mentioned. We're leaving off guys like Dwight Clark, you know, and we'll see where this current, you know, 49ers legends go. Whew. But you're leaving off Patrick Willis. You're leaving off
Patrick Willis. Yeah.
Some greats.
Because some of those guys that were great, some of them got Super Bowls, some of them don't. I mean, Patrick Willis is probably the greatest linebacker of the 49ers of all time. But
not for long.
Fred Warner's gonna take that. I remember I did a show about that, and then, like, just look at Fred continue to excel. Just make the show full circle. I think this is why people arguably feel like Fred Warner is the best player on the 49ers. And there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think there's any wrong with picking any one of those 4 guys that you had in your poll question, because they all have arguments to why they could be the best. I just gave you the reasons why I feel the player that I chose is the best. If he wasn't here, it'd be Fred Warner without a doubt.
Mm. I love it. And here's the thing that I walk away from today's show, and hopefully the listeners, the same thing. This was a all positive show. Wasn't really the plan. We want to debate a little bit, but like there are so many reasons to be excited and pumped up about this year. And we were able to look back and get excited about some nostalgic things with, you know, obviously Ronnie Lott and, you know, Jerry Rice and all these other players. But man, the fact that there are six players in contention, we didn't even go through Bosa and Brock Purdy, but like the 49ers have a foundation. If the rookies can pan out this year, oh man. Ah,
and that's why you brought back Saleh. I think I get it now. It made sense. We all were seeing it as the vision of bringing back Saleh because we wanted to run the defense, but I think it was more of him not just running the defense, but him managing the defense, right? And so it's kind of like, yeah, Saleh, look, we trust you. Pick the players you need that can excel. It's like going to college or taking an accelerated course, which you got to get it done in 2 weeks. I think he picked those guys he feel like will be able to grasp the concept of his style of defense. And he got all dogs. Did we not talk about that in the draft? Like, he drafted literally dogs defensively. And so that's a key component to playing on a solid defense. How many people can withstand the yelling from Chris Kocurek? How many people can withstand the teachings from Robert Saleh? The communication is going to be super airtight, bro. And I think that was one of the main reasons why they got to not just to fix the defense, but to be able to manipulate, control the defense from now on into the future. More importantly, develop the defense.
Oh, I love it, man. I'm so pumped about this year, man. You're the best, Wayne. Wayne, take us out of this show.
Faithful OTAs kick off today, man. We're going to get hopefully some practice stuff out there. We're going to see some throws, see some running, see some good stuff, man. Most importantly, we're going to see the 49ers back in uniform. If you see your favorite player not at OTAs, don't be alarmed. It's voluntary. As long as they show up to that mandatory camp, it is all on point. Guys, you are the greatest, Faithful. Keep it faithful to the Bay, and until next time, peace.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.